We're doing the Ramban, Torat Hashem Temima, and we're up to page Kuf Nun Chet. And the Ramban went off on a tangent explaining a little bit about Ma'aseh Bereshit. He says to help people who have been in error, there are common errors in the world understanding creation. So the Ramban took a few moments, which took us a few classes, to explain these concepts in Ma'aseh Bereshit. And now the Ramban is getting back to the point about the greatness of the Torah, and he had been developing the idea that even the little kid in Israel knows more about creation than the greatest scientists, because he knows how to learn the Torah, and in the Torah he's told about what's created on day one and day two and day three. And scientists can be sitting for decades or centuries analyzing, was the Big Bang this way or that way? How did creation evolve? And we know how creation evolved. We have a tradition, it says it in the Torah. So, v'nachzol inyanenu, we're at the bottom of page Kuf Nun Chet in the Mosada of Kuk edition of Torat Hashem Tmima, and we'll get back to our point at hand. Lomar, that we've been saying, shekatan shebi Yisrael, that even a kid among the Jews, omer tamid hech nivru kol hanivrim, could always tell you how all the different things were created. Ask my 5-year-old son, he'll tell you. Ask him. He'll tell you what was created, and maybe by now he doesn't remember, but he knows a lot about it. Umi akodem betol datol acher, and he'll tell you what was created before what. And the sages among the Jews, they have a knowledge in these verses when it comes to all the different things that were created initially. And they understand about how the heavens are, how the earth is, the sun, the moon, the stars, how high they are, how low they are. And if you'll talk to them about the lights of the different stars, the lights in heavens, or when there are going to be eclipses, כמו שאמרו, like our sages said, לכי ומעתית עצמך, that our sages gave us the medrash that the sun and the moon were initially both large constellations. They were both equally large, and the moon came before God and said, can it be that you have two kings holding on to one crown? And God said, you're 100% right, go minimize yourself. And then the moon changed its form, and the moon itself became smaller. Shuinyana molad, that this is where we understand the concept that there is a new moon. And this concept of a new moon involves much depth in understanding the order of the stars in heaven, and when different things happened in creation, that's all relevant to our understanding of when the new moon is. V'chol ma she'amru, and everything that our sages told us, pa'amim ba ba'aruka, pa'amim ba b'ktzara, nolad kodem chatzot, etc. Our sages said, sometimes there is a long period of time between the old moon and the new moon. Sometimes there is a shorter period of time between the old moon and the new moon, depending on when was the birth of the new moon. When did the sun and the sun pass the moon, so to speak, in their evolvement? Shepiresh Sachuva Sulta, that this great commentary, Rav Avram Barchia the Nasi, was one of the great sages of Spain, who had the nickname Sachuva Sulta, the great leader. So he explained, "Bakol yesh remez bipsukim eilu." All these different concepts, they were all alluded to in these verses. When it comes to understanding nature, if you want to really understand nature, you have to have a good understanding of the Book of Bereshit, because in the Book of Bereshit, Chazal knew how to understand all the different secrets of nature.
From the point of view of astronomy, it's completely different moon and sun. And it's moon is like some planet in the sun, and sun is like particles from the maybe Earth, and the star, it's sun is star. It's completely different.
I hear. I don't know. V'chen tikun sod ha'ibur v'atkufot nod'im mipasuk, and so too when it comes to the secrets of knowing when to make a leap year and when the different seasons begin, all of those things we understand from a verse. The verse says, "Va'ayu," and these constellations will be, the different stars will be le'otot, for signs, ul'ma'adim, and for set times, ul'yamim, and for days, v'shanim, and for years. When God establishes the constellations, He tells us what the purpose of these constellations will be, and from this verse we can derive different concepts, b'minyan otiyot, by knowing how to count the letters, v'gematriyot, and knowing how to evaluate the value of the different letters, v'gzerot shava, and knowing what is the illusion by using different terms from other places in the Tanakh and this verse, Nilmazim b'parsha, different concepts were alluded to in the parsha, but you have to know how to break it down. Just like we find that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya in the Gemara in Bechoros and in the Medrash Rabbah, he was brought before the philosophers and they asked him how long it takes for a snake to give birth. And he derived from the verse, Mipasuk, from the verse about the snake, cursed are you, the snake is told. You are cursed from all the animals and all the wild animals in the field. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya sat down and calculated. What is the longest gestation? What is the longest pregnancy of the animals? What is the longest pregnancy of the wild animals in the field? And he derived from that, what was the curse of the snake? How long does it take a snake to conceive, to give birth? And when the philosophers asked him, he said to them, Nachash lekama molid, how long does it take a snake to give birth? Lesheva, takes him 7 years. Vafilosofu tzach litiga bo sheva shana, and the philosopher was troubling over this question for 7 years to figure out how long it takes a snake to give birth. Over there, there's a long, funny discussion with Rabbi Yeshua and the philosopher. At one point, Rabbi Yeshua tells the philosopher, you know, your experiment was worthless. So the philosopher says, how come? So Rabbi Yeshua tells him, how do you know you didn't take a pregnant snake for your experiment? Maybe it was pregnant for 2 years already. Rabbi Yeshua goes through over there, and then the philosopher asks him, well, how do you know? Initially, they disagree with him. Rabbi Yeshua says, rework your experiments, you'll see. It's 7 years. So they ask him, how do you know? He says, I derived it from the Torah. So he derived it. After much experimentation, the philosophers came back to the king with the same conclusion. And that's why it says the philosopher, he saw, the Medrash says like this, the philosopher saw two snakes cohabitating. So he took both snakes and put them in a barrel, and he fed them until they gave birth. When the elders came, they questioned, and Rabbi Yeshua said that the philosophers really questioned Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel didn't know at first glance. He met up with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua told him it takes 7 years from this verse. Rabbi Gamliel came back to the philosopher and said, after 7 years. So the philosopher banged his head against the wall. He said, I worked so hard, and you got it in one, like you just went, looked it up, you asked another rabbi, and you got the answer. And over there, then the conversation continues. Then Rabbi Yeshua tells him, what kind of experiment is that? Just because you see them cohabitating, who says, this is when they became pregnant, etc. And he tells him, your research wasn't even worth anything. So that's why the philosopher banged his head against the wall, because he saw that, hey, what I worked for 7 years, the rabbis knew, just like that. So that's what the Ramban is saying. Torah Hashem Temima. What's the purpose of this composition? To show us how the Torah is complete, all-encompassing. V'inyan ha-geshem, and the concept of rain, v'tzemach ha-aretz, and the plants of the earth, yodim mipasuk, there our sages understood how all of this works, how the vegetation grows from the rain, from the verse, ve'ed yale min ha-aretz v'yishka, that the Torah describes how the mist comes up from the ground and waters the different vegetation. V'chen modim chachmei umot, and so too the wise men of the nations admit our explanation. V'inyan ha-nshama, and when it comes to understanding the soul, our spirit, our essence of life, she'inena guf noda u'barur, that's we don't have a clear understanding what body is it that really gives us life. We understand it mipasuk, from the verse that says vayipach ba'apav nishmat chayim, God blew into his nostrils a breath of life. V'ze karov umvuar she'ila ota v'yiches ota labore yitbarach, that the pasuk raised, elevated the spirit of life that is within us and attributed life to the Creator, blessed be He. Ki anofech b'chli meruchu mamtzi bo ruach. Because if you just blow into a vessel, what you're doing is you're putting in wind. What does it mean, God blew into him a breath of life? So we're saying that's God blowing into him. V'yesh b'zeh, regarding this concept of our life, our neshama, there are psukim acherim, other verses, meramzim sod b'zeh, that allude to a secret with regard to this, v'lo dumiyat te'ilah, and the greatest praise to God is silence. I won't explain beyond this. So the Ramban is beginning a discussion of our neshama, which we'll pick up with next time, Bezrat Hashem, and he's saying, I really can't explain, it's a secret. But as the Ramban often does, when he says, I can't explain, he nonetheless gives us a little bit of an insight. And the Ramban very often says, you don't understand anyways. So he's giving us these allusions for the people who do understand, but we don't understand. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next time.